today on Real Radio.
The most controversial issue in all of Christianity is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's what sets Christ out from all other religious founders, is that the founder of Christianity is the one who rose again from the dead.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in his special message for Resurrection Sunday called Never Again. It's perhaps the most talked about subject in all of religion. What happens to a human soul after the time of death? Well, outside the cross of Jesus Christ, there's no hope of heaven in this world. The cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's at the very core of the gospel. God wants to give us life. He is the life giver. From as far back as the time of Job, the one the Bible tells us was a man who glorified God, even in the midst of great suffering, knew that he would see God. Job's hope was in God, and that one day God would raise him back to life. Job's confidence was before Moses and the Ten Commandments, and even before the Bible existed. So today on this very special resurrection message, Pastor Jack tells us that we can have Job's assurance today, that even in the midst of our troubles and the scourge of a pandemic, there really is salvation in Christ. Never again do we have to be afraid or live in doubt, and never again do we have to feel separated and alone when even the fear of death has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now in his special resurrection message called Never Again, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Luke chapter 24, so here we go. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared.
But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb.
Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments.
Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?
He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee?
Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again."
And they remembered his words.
Verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest.
It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles.
And their words seemed to them to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them.
But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened.
Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem.
And they talked together of all these things which had happened.
And so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them.
But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him.
And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another and as you walk and are sad?"
Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?"
And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people."
"And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him."
But, verse 21 says, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened."
Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us.
When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive.
And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see.
Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken.
Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he, that's Jesus, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther.
But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them.
Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them.
Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight.
And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?
So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together,
saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.
Verse 35 goes on, And they spoke about the things that had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of bread.
Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you.
But they were terrified and frightened, and supposing that they had seen a spirit.
And he said to them, Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?
Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit or a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet.
But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here?
So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb.
And we close in verse 43. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Father, we thank you. We praise you, God, for this resurrection message that never grows old. It will never grow old because it is eternal truth. It was prophesied in your word. It happened 2,000 years ago, and we will celebrate the reality of this remarkable and awesome truth that Jesus Christ is in fact risen from the dead. And we look forward to this day of celebration. We pray it now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, church family, I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts before we get into the closing arguments of never again. What does all that mean? I read this week in preparation some pretty astounding quotes. And Victor Hugo, I don't know if you know who Victor Hugo is, but you should know. He wrote and produced a lot of tremendous things so very long ago. But one of them was Les Miserables, The Miserable. And Victor Hugo was a believer. I don't know if you know that or not. But Victor Hugo said this, Nations like stars are entitled to eclipse. All is well provided the light returns. The eclipse does not become endless night. Dawn and resurrection are synonymous. The reappearance of the light is the same as the survival of the soul. That's a deep statement. That's a powerful thing to say. There is no doubt about it that the most controversial issue in all of Christianity is not its various doctrines regarding the end times events, as interesting as those are, or various things regarding what we would say is morality or the standard of God. It's not even the Ten Commandments. The most controversial issue in all of Christianity is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's what sets Christ out from all other religious founders, is that the founder of Christianity, really, the one whom the Bible is written of, is the one who rose again from the dead. And that is exactly what you and I need to hear today. This is a very special time. Not only here in America, but all around the world, there is a sense of desired renewal because of what we've been experiencing with this global scourge, with this global pandemic. Why do you love that so much? Why is it so important to you? Because God wants to give you life. In springtime is when Christ rose again from the dead. Springtime is when the hills that I'm looking at here behind you in Chino Hills are breaking forth in beautiful color. Springtime is an announcement of life, and Christ is the giver of life. Well, listen, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't represent the atheist that might be viewing today. So one of the most profound and prolific atheists of our age is the man Richard Dawkins, highly educated man, Oxford University. Richard Dawkins, the atheist, says, listen carefully, presumably what happened to Jesus is what happens to all of us when we die. We decompose. Accounts of Jesus's resurrection and ascension are about as well documented as Jack and the Beanstalk. That's from an educated man, completely ignoring the fact that you can argue the resurrection of Jesus Christ without even getting into the Bible. You can argue the resurrection of Jesus Christ strictly from Roman history. You can argue the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the statements and from the proclamations of his enemies. You don't even have to turn to the Bible to recognize. In fact, you know what? What is today? What is the calendar? What is on your iPhone or your smart device or on your wall? What day of the week is it? And what is the number of the year that we're in? That is a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One more quote by a dear beloved brother. Outside the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world. The cross and resurrection are at the core of the gospel and is the only hope for humanity. Wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get the gospel in, even the toughest situations of life. Job, the man who suffered perhaps more than anyone. Job's an amazing man of God, but just the mention of Job's name causes people to kind of get a little nervous because Job represents suffering. And we can look at that and say, oh my goodness, I don't even want to read the book of Job because I don't want to even be exposed to that kind of experience. But if you do read the book of Job, and if you do know who Job is, he's a man who glorified God, and he's a man who's a great encouragement to us because God brought him through the most horrific sufferings. And you also need to remember this, that Job, the oldest book in the Bible, by the way, the book of Job. I don't know if you know that or not. Listen to what Job said in Job 14:14. Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? What a profound question. That tells us, by the way, that for millennia, that question never leaves the heart of man. It hasn't left your heart either. If you die, is the thought in your mind, will you live again? Well, that's Job 14. Listen to this. It took him 5 chapters to bring to us the answer. Job 19, verse 25. Job 19, 25 says, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Listen to this. And he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job prayed that prayer, had that realization thousands and thousands of years ago because God revealed himself to Job. Church, listen, Job said that before there was a Bible. Job said that before Moses had come on the scene. There is no 10 commandments. There is no 4 gospels yet. And Job was the one that said, if I die, is there life after death? And then comes the glorious answer. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I will see my Redeemer. I know that he lives, and I will someday see him on this earth. And listen, Job mentions the very verbiage of resurrection. I know that though my flesh may decompose in the earth, thank God Richard Dawkins is not right on this, it doesn't stay that way because the scripture says resurrection. Job will be raised. God will raise his people from the dead, and Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. And that's a very important thing to keep in mind. Today's message, and why are we up on a roof like this on a morning like this in a very cold Southern California morning? Because Christ is risen from the dead. If he can be resurrected from the dead, the least that we can do is get out of bed and celebrate this glorious time together. And so the message of the resurrection means everything to us, and it brings everything to the Bible alive, and that means it's true. You want to put the Bible to shame? You want to destroy it? Destroy the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So listen, if you've been with us all week long, starting with last Sunday, very quickly, let me run through this. Never again has been our theme. Never again. All of you keeping notes, write this down. For me, it just encapsulates the entire day. Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist, and who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if you know? And that's the argument today. Acts 4 verse 10 says, let it be known to all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Listen, verse 12, Acts 4, 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Next passage, Philippians 2, verse 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, the Bible says, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The term work out your salvation with fear and trembling simply means this. It's not that works brings you into the presence of God. It's that Christ Jesus being that one you have bowed your knee to is the one that works through you. And today, Christian, we are to dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ again and again and again. So here we go. Never again will you need to be afraid. Wow. Never again will you need to be afraid. Never again since Resurrection Sunday morning do you ever have to be afraid. The world has been gripped by fear. You know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but let me tell you something. The world has been gripped by fear unnecessarily. When I say unnecessarily, let me make that clear. During this pandemic that has swept the earth, the Christian should not be afraid. If the specter of death comes to the Christian, we will be concerned in the sense that, I don't want my family to miss me, or I need to make sure that all is well, but I need to prepare to meet my Maker. And the Christian is always of that mindset. I am ready to meet God. And so in this world, during this time, the Christian has not been afraid. Now, none of us want to sign up for pain. But when it comes to death, for the believer, death is the great liberator. And the great news is this, the fact of the matter is, never again do you and I ever have to be afraid. Listen, write these things down, church. This is good stuff. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, listen, fear not, for I am with you. This is God speaking. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's what God says today. You don't need to be afraid. This is God. This is his word. What does that mean to us? Think of it. When he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, that means that God is the one who is righteous. The word right hand in Hebrew thinking is the hand of strength. It's the hand of battle. It's the hand of rescue. And it's the hand of provision. God is saying, I am going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is God's righteousness that brings us into heaven, not our own. That passage of Isaiah announces, he says, yes, I will help you. That it's all based upon him. Listen, I grew up in a home, and I thought this was in the Bible when I became a Christian. It's not in the Bible. My mom would always say, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Have you ever heard that before? Well, happy to report, God helps those who cannot help themselves. He's the one who will help us. You never have to be afraid, because he goes on to say in Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you. This is something we really need to hear. God will be your strength. I can't do this. I can't pull this together. I can't make this happen. Good, give up, surrender. God says, I will strengthen you. I'm going to be that power in your life that you need. He's promised to do that. Isaiah 41 goes on to say, for I am your God. I just love that statement. It's kind of like he's putting his foot down and he's saying, I'm your God. Isaiah 41:10 goes on to this, be not dismayed. Do not become detached or unhinged from the promises of God. Do not panic. Don't become dismayed. The word implies panic that leads to depression. Don't do that. Grab onto the word of God. Recite his promises. Hang on to them. His word there goes on to say, for I am with you. What a great truth that is. God says, I am with you who trust in me. And then finally, he ends with saying, fear not. Man, that's comforting, isn't it? Fear not. That's a great promise for God to say to us, fear not. Now look, God cannot lie. He's holy, he's true, he's pure, he's God. And he tells us, fear not. So maybe right now this morning, all your thoughts have been thinking and your heart's been touched and your mind's been provoked to think. And now your mind and your heart are getting together and you need to make a decision for Jesus, and you sense that you need to accept Christ as Lord and Savior today. What follows? Going to your knees. Wherever you're at in the world, if you're laying in bed and you're streaming this message, get out of bed and get on your knees. I'm dead serious. Those of you who want to rededicate your life to Christ, get out of the chair and get on your knees. And I'm going to ask you to pray. You know down deep inside you need forgiveness. And I'm asking you on your knees right now to pray this prayer. And it's not a magic prayer. It's a confession of faith in Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess today, this Resurrection Sunday morning, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He died on the cross for my sins, but he rose again from the dead to save my soul. And I put my faith in Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my brokenness, all of my emptiness, all of what I am. I come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I believe and I trust you now. And I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his special resurrection message called Never Again. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that this Easter you'll find hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the first, he's the last, who was dead and came to life so that we too can live forever in heaven with him. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the greatest moment of the Apostle Peter's life was when he saw with his own eyes that Jesus had risen from the dead. Suddenly, the agony of denying his Savior not only once but three times was washed away. Jesus had not only forgiven Peter, but greeted him warmly with a love and compassion that only Jesus can give. So, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we can have that same assurance. But if you don't have your own personal relationship with Jesus, and you'd really like to know what it's all about, let us help. Simply go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that says Know God. It's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, we're confident you'll find the answers that you're looking for. Again, it's called the Know God tab, and you'll find it right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.